Hello, you're tuned in to Freak the Sheep on 95FM. We've got a special guest in the studio tonight. Oh, actually, speaking online, and I'm wondering, can you hear me right now? I'm Amelia.
Yes, Chris, I can hear
you.
Can
you hear me?
Can
you hear me clearly? Because we're having some behind-the-scenes kind of fiddling around with our technological setup.
Yeah, look, behind the scenes, you sounded kind of like a distant ghoul kind of like a sad memory. But now you're here in like full in Technicolor.
And we're on the 95BFM airwaves on Freak the Sheep, your 100% Aotearoa music show. And we've got a lot of stuff to chat about, actually. So many things. I've written down a million questions. But first of all, okay, for listeners just tuning in, I'm Amelia is an award-winning artist. She won the 2024 Best Electronic Artist TUI Award for 2022's Banana Amelia. There was a gap year, which explained the delay. But first up, Amelia, whereabouts are you speaking from?
I am in Melbourne, Nam, Australia right now, where I live.
How long have you lived over there for?
I think 3 years now.
Wow.
Kind of just after Banana Amelia came out, actually.
Okay, so we've got a few topics to cover tonight. You've got a brand new single out, Theme from Living, from your upcoming album, The Joy of Living, which will be out on 17th of April through Sun Return. And you've also just launched Banana Amelia, The Music Archive, which we'll talk about in a little bit. We'll talk about the new single first. And before we start about that, you're kind of infamous for having many projects on the go and many aliases or names. We've got Amelia Berry. I'm Amelia. DJ Mealy Worm. Forbin Project. Amelia Discreet. And was there like one called Old Chips or something?
Old Chips is my like avant-garde ambient synthesizer project.
Do you have any others that missed out?
I don't know if there are any others that are just me. There's also all the kind of like bands.
Oh yeah, I mean you've got multiple projects going simultaneously, right?
There was a couple that only released one track and like were so long ago that I don't remember the name of. But there have been, more solo aliases.
And of course you've got Van Staden and Baum.
Fun Staden. Yeah.
Oh wow. But we're here to focus on I'm Amelia tonight.
Yes.
Yes. You have a new single out, Theme from Living. From your forthcoming new album, The Joy of Living. Why Theme from Living?
So I came up with the title The Joy of Living before I had made any of the music, that's also how I made Banana Amelia. I've gone a little bit galaxy brain conceptual with these records. Theme from Living was the first track that I wrote for the record, and I kind of just wanted to come up with like something that would embody the vibes of the record. And I also, I don't know, I love old soundtrack records where they're all called, like love theme or,
It's also the opening
name of the film.
It's the opening track from the album as well, though.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to it last week and I, as I've said elsewhere, it kind of reminded me of, there was like a psychedelic early 70s kind of puppet fantasy film called Puffin Stuff that had all these witches in it. Everyone was having a great time. And it kind of reminded me of that movie. And after hearing it, I was compelled to rewatch that movie.
Oh, fantastic.
To see if my mind was playing tricks on me. And no, it did kind of remind me of that. And it's sort of time-defying proggy psychedelia.
Yeah, I mean, like, so, I mean, I...
And life-affirming as well.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, like by some kind of like accident of history, despite me being born in the 90s, I think partly from having like much older siblings and partly just because in the 90s there were a lot of like reruns of 70s and 80s TV shows. Mm. I grew up watching a lot of those Croft. It was the Crofts that made H.R. Puff and stuff.
Yeah.
And also like Lidsville and a few other shows. I grew up watching that stuff. And I just, I don't know, I was like left alone with the TV a lot. So it made a big impression on me. Also the monkeys. And then I don't know, I got really into kind of like weird UK indie music. And there's this whole scene in the 90s on like L Records. And they did covers of those songs. You can find a cover of Zap the World from that movie.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I think by Death by Chocolate or Lollipop Train. It's like the same band, but they have different names for their things.
Those are great names.
And I was like, wow, this is actually, it's not just a cool thing from my childhood. It's like an objectively cool thing. Like, this is like cool guy music to me. And I've never found anyone else who it's cool guy music for, really, but that really stuck with me.
Yes. So I was wondering on a related tip, if you had to do an elevator pitch, like maybe I'm imagining Sun Return as this like sort of corporate record company where you have to pitch to the CEO, who's Zach Arnold, the idea for your new album, The Joy of Living. How would you describe the album that's coming out soon?
I think the way that I did describe it to Zach when I was making it was like junk shop psychedelia, because that is really kind of what I was going for. I think like Banana Melia is such a kind of a sleek record. It was like all made in the computer with like nice breakbeats and stuff. And this one, yeah, it's very like junk shop psychedelia. Weirdo soundtrack core. I don't know.
Excellent. We will play Theme from Living very soon. When the album's coming out. It's coming out on 17th of April. Will you be around Auckland for any release shows? Are you allowed to say anything about that yet?
Look, I couldn't possibly confirm or deny that, Chris. But I think, you know, it could happen. It's a possibility.
Okay, very cool. Let's just leave.
You may find out more soon.
Let's just leave the listeners hanging with that enticing. Will it happen or won't it? And we'll have a listen to Theme from Living, and then we'll get into the real meat of tonight's conversation, which will be Banana Melia, the music archive. All right. Keep a look, listeners. We'll be right back. All right, we're back on Freak the Sheep tonight on 95 FM, and we're chatting with I'm Amelia. Hello. Oh, do I need to turn you up there? You've gone quiet. Oh, wait one moment. Sorry. I've This will be better. How about that?
Oh.
Yeah.
How about that?
There we go. That's live radio, folks.
It's magic.
So, we've heard the new album. No, the new single. Yeah. We haven't heard the new album. The album's out soon. The new single, Theme from Living. But,
it's very silly.
Well, I mean, it's very fun.
Thank you. Yeah. In a serious kind of a way.
You've got many projects on the go, including the just launched new Banana Melia, the Music Archive with the National Library, spearheaded by Michael Brown, who wrote the 33 and a third book on eyeliners by now. Banana Melia, some have called it a sonic joyride. What is Banana Melia, the Music Archive?
So Michael Brown at the New Zealand National Library has been kind of like pioneering a new way to archive digital first music. So like with stuff that gets recorded on tape, you can like donate your 4-track or 8-track or 32-track tapes, and then that's the archive. You've got all of the stems, you've got the stuff, you've maybe got like pieces of paper and photos from the session. That's the archive. With music that was made in a computer, it's much harder to do that. Even if you give someone the project file, that might just not work in 2 years, almost certainly won't work in 10 years. And so it's kind of, he's been working on ways in which to preserve this music that's made in computers, because that's basically how everyone makes music now. And so the project started with an eyeliner disaster radio archive, which is really amazing, and people should look up, and you can see videos of Luke talking through his process, and you can download the stems and you can remix the stems.
What was the album that Luke Rowell was focused on for that project? Do you remember?
There were a couple. There was
multiple albums, right?
It was By Now was the eyeliner one, and then the disaster radio one is it called Charisma?
Yeah, Charisma. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I was very lucky to be chosen to basically be the next person to do one of these things.
Did Michael?
It's been a real long process.
Yeah, did Michael specifically talk about why he invited Banana Melia to be archived in such a way?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a few different considerations on the part of the library. It's they want to get different kinds of, like, music made by different kinds of people, different like kind of styles of music as well. And then I also think the fact that I won that award meant that I was a little bit easier to pitch maybe than someone who only exists on Bandcamp or whatever.
The 2024 Best Electronic Artist Tour Award.
Yeah.
Yep. Not the SRN Best Solo Artist Award, which you also won.
I bet that was in the pitch deck.
Probably a major factor. Yeah.
And so I don't know. I think it was a combination of things. I didn't want to ask too much. You know, it felt a little bit like being like, "Do you like me? Why do you like me?"
But I mean, he does say on the website specifically why he is framing the project around Banana Melia as like a example of like a sort of very recent digital archiving project, which still runs into its own issues.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I mean, it was also chosen because it was like a current, like kind of a very, very recent release, and that's kind of a thing they wanted to do, because they had like different problems with Luke's project because it was like pulling out old computers that could run this old software. At one point, I believe Luke had to download an old VST off of me on SoulSeek, so that's a nice little connection there.
That's amazing. I popped into the archive late last year. The National Library late last year, and Michael was showing me what he was up to over there. And he showed me a session by an artist, a digital recording session from like the late 90s, and was telling me about the incredible issues and work involved in being able to open up an old Pro Tools session from, say, 1999 in the year 2025. And all these, like, there'd be all these plugins that were missing, and sometimes you just had to guess. You'd have a MIDI piano roll sequence, and you would have no idea what that was actually supposed to be playing, and, like, those kinds of things.
Yeah, totally. He told me about one project that they were trying to archive where they had to migrate it across 5 different Macs.
Yeah.
Intense. Which is crazy. And my record was only made in, I think I actually made it in 2021, but it took a while to come out. But still, like, for me, that was one laptop ago, and there were still struggles with plugins kind of not opening and the computer threatening to die all the time.
Oh my goodness.
So it was quite interesting.
I'll just read out this little bit of text from the National Library website. Barry also uses different software from Luke Rowell, meaning the library was extending its archival coverage to Ableton Live, a very popular DAW.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is kind of a good segue actually into, could you describe the different aspects of Banana Melia, the music archive? What's in the archive?
Yeah, so I mean, part of it is just text. So there's like a process document and things like that are written by me about just like outlining the process by which I kind of went about doing the archiving, obviously like in consultation with Michael and with reference to Luke's eyeliner stuff. And then there's also like an essay that I wrote that was going to be in the sleeve for Banana Melia, but I decided I didn't want to print inner sleeves. And I also thought maybe the essay was weird. So there's like, there's text, and then there's also a bunch of spreadsheets. And so the spreadsheets detail all of the tracks in each project file. So like for track one, Marble Run, it'll have a spreadsheet that has like, here is this track is the cymbals, and here is where the cymbal sound comes from, and here is how it's processed. And then there'll be like another tab on that is like, here is what the processing plugins are called, and here are what all the knobs were set to. So it's very,
that is extraordinarily detailed.
Very detailed, and took a very long time. That was the bulk of the time of the project. And so then it also has a bunch of audio files. So it has the stems for every track, as well like the processed versions, as well as kind of dry raw versions. And those are, as much as we could, those are all Creative Commons, so you can take those and remix them and do kind of whatever you like with them, as long as you don't one for one recreate my song.
So those would be like stems with no effects on them, or is that right?
Some of them have no effects and some of them have effects.
Sounds like a very easy way for somebody to make really good karaoke versions of your songs.
Oh, you absolutely could. It would take 5 minutes.
Yeah.
As well as those files, there's also some kind of like weird miscellaneous. There's like early versions of songs you can hear when Shy Blood, the last track, was going to be like a down tempo kind of like trip hop song. A few kind of odds and ends like that. And then there's also videos of me talking through all of how I made everything. Michael decided, I think, when he was working with Luke on the first round of this archiving series, that the insight that you get from like talking to the musician about exactly what they're doing and seeing them kind of walk through it is invaluable. And if you can just like record that in a video.
Yeah. I was watching some of the videos today and they are super interesting. I made a few notes. One thing that struck me was how tidy your Ableton sessions are. My Cubase sessions, it's like organized. I was chatting with somebody like the other day about organized home is like an organized mind, and these Ableton sessions are so clean and everything's so clear as to what's going on. But also something that I was really struck by was you're not just learning about the tracks themselves, you're learning about the context for each track, and it can get very autobiographical. And I was kind of wondering, for example, when you talk about your song Gap Selection, you start with a preamble about not being able to get your driver's license in 2020, which is interesting and stuff, and it informs how... It informs everything else. And I was wondering, because you're a podcaster as well, was doing the session explanations kind of like doing podcasting in some ways?
Yeah, it absolutely was. And the autobiographical thing is kind of interesting, because when I first was starting to do them, the thing that I kind of thought would be interesting is like all of the technical detail. And so I was like kind of thinking, oh yeah, I'll go in and I'll talk about like, here's how you cut the think break, and like, this is the snare that you want to use the volume envelope on, and like, here's like blah, blah, blah. And then I would talk to Michael about it, and he would be like, well, here are my questions about the song. Why is it called that? And I'm like, people care about that. Okay. Well, I guess I could talk about that as well. And so... Yeah, I kind of realized that a lot of that contextual stuff was maybe a little bit more interesting for people than some of the technical stuff, which I think you can kind of like figure out from. Right. I mean, it's also in the videos, but you can also like is documented so much so thoroughly, whereas you don't know why the song is called that anywhere in the archive apart from in the video.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Like, because you start. At the beginning, it's like you're telling a story as you are scrolling through the session, and then after about 20 minutes, it's like the story's over, like moving on to the next track. It's a really interesting way of experiencing music. You mentioned that there's downloadable material. How can somebody access these files? And also, what is ephemerally? Oh, I can't read this word. Ephemeralia.
That's all the like weird bits and pieces.
I see.
So that's got the anything that wasn't like a mix, like this is an early mix of this song, or this is like the unmastered version of the song. Anything that was like, here's an abandoned version of this song, or here's like what this song sounded like when it was all MIDI, or like something like that is in there. I actually can't even remember what's in that folder. It would be interesting to find out.
That's cool. And how can somebody access the downloadable stuff?
Yeah, so I mean, it's all on the National Library website. If you go to... What's the easiest way to find this? If you go to my Instagram, is maybe the easiest way to find it. In my link in bio, there's a link to Michael's blog post about the archive, and then that has links to all of the archive material, and it's all in there. The National Library's website is a little bit antiquated. It can feel a little bit technical to navigate, but it is all in there.
I quite like it for that reason. I think it's really great. Yeah. We'll be back. I'll just play. I think you described this as like the pop song from Banana Amelia.
C'est chic.
I didn't do French. This one. And then we'll come back and we'll just have a little chat about the new remix that you've done in Frail Knots that came out today, and then we'll wrap it up.
Awesome.
Yep, we'll be right back. Back in the studio. Cool, I was just doing some little fixing. Can you hear me, Amelia?
Hello, how's it going?
Hey, going good. Yeah, listening to some cool tunes on Freak the Sheep on 95 FM. Yes, listeners, We're chatting with Amelia tonight about a few projects on the go. We just talked about Banana Amelia, the music archive. But also, there's a very exciting release that came out today, or was previewed today, by Mixmag. What was that?
Yeah, it's an exclusive premiere on Mixmag. So that is my my remix of Frau Knott's Victory Dance on ZR3. So yeah, it's actually been such a busy month for me, Chris.
It does sound pretty hectic.
But yeah, so Frau Knott's is an electronic producer from New Plymouth, and basically she just sent me like an Instagram DM being like, I like your music, do you want to do a remix? I was like, yeah, keen. I get quite a few of those messages, and mostly you say yeah, keen, and then you never hear from them again. But this time I got to actually do it, and so at the moment you can listen to that exclusively on the Mixmag Australia New Zealand SoundCloud, but pretty soon, I think Friday maybe, it'll be available everywhere apart from Spotify.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So it's Frau Knott's also, because I spotted that none of your tracks from Joy of Living on Spotify is Frau Knott's Walking That Path as well.
I think I saw that. Don't quote me on that. I know this is a live radio interview, but I'm pretty sure it said that.
All right. Well, yeah. Nothing's set in stone. All right. We are running out of time on this Zoom session pretty fast. Before you run away, I thought it would be fun to ask, what have your roles been with 95BFM over the years?
My roles?
What have you done with this station?
I mean, I started out as doing a graveyard. Shout out Matthew Crawley for Matthew Crawley, famous Auckland scenester.
And Talent Spotter.
And Talent Spotter was like, I've recommended you for a show on BFM. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to be doing like afternoons or something. No, it was 5 in the morning. I did that for a couple of years. And then I became the creative director. So I was writing the ads for a few years. Mm-hmm. And then I hosted a specialist show called Amelia's Secret that used to, based on the texts I would get, really upset people on Wednesday evenings.
That's because the people were listening.
Yeah. There was one guy who was really high and lost his keys and was like, this music isn't helping. I was like, sorry. and then I hosted the Top 10 for a number of years. And I used to have a segment on breakfast called Word Salad. I think that basically covers it.
Bring back Word Salad. I love that. Love that segment. Okay, well, thank you very much for chatting with us tonight. Can you please remind the listeners when your new album is coming out?
So my new album is out April 17th, but you can pre-order it right now on my Bandcamp, amelia.bandcamp.com. All of the important links are available on my Instagram, amelia.zone. Go to the little link in bio and you can find the archive. You can find my new album. It would be so awesome if people bought the record for this. It would be really good.
Just everyone pre-order that record. It's going to be great. Let's have a listen to Victory Dance on ZR3. I'm Amelia, remixed by Frau Knott's. Thank you so much for chatting with us tonight on Freak the Sheep.
My pleasure.
So good. All right, here we go.